Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Lean Toss-Up Call of Duty podcast, a major to week five. This is it, guys. We're basically right at the major. Just eight more matches to go. Sorry, I have to think about it a little bit because the number of matches varies depending on the week for some reason. But I am joined, as always, by my co-host CDL Metrics to talk about this week. How are you doing in
I'm
your
doing well.
Wisconsin sweater there?
Yes. Yeah, go Badgers. Big Ten tournament kicked off yesterday. They didn't play yesterday, but they did already win today by 31 or something. Good first game for the Badgers. We'll see if they can keep it rolling. But we're not here to talk college basketball. We're here to talk Call of Duty League, an ever more thriving league than the NCAA. I guess the NCAA is not doing well either, but either way, yeah,
The
excited to
NCAA.
talk about the matches, and yeah, we can maybe get into that a little later.
Quick aside, and it ties into the news of the week. Which league lasts longer, the Call of Duty League or the NCAA? Like, serious question. And
That's a
that's not
good
even a joke.
question. What are the odds on each league to fold? I guess CDL is probably favored to fold first, but
First, probably.
maybe they're like minus 180, minus 200. Not a lock, but
Not
I don't
much
know.
more. So, speaking of the Call of Duty League folding, so this is really funny because if you remember back to the Activision statement, they said when they said, "Oh, this is a meritless lawsuit and we will fight this and this takes away from the success of the Call of Duty League." Yeah, they're settling. So, that's now to be fair, in basically all legal proceedings, that's basically what happens. They're agreeing to move the case to arbitration, which basically means that Activision knows they are in trouble for something. My guess is that would be about the claims that they didn't want Hector to be a team owner due to race. That would probably be one of the reasons why this is going to arbitration. That'd be my guess. But again, I'm not a lawyer. But yeah, I think it's funny that they're settling because they're like, we're gonna fight this to the end, and they're like, I don't know, this was literally within the entire break between Major One and Major Two. This entire legal drama has unfolded in 3 weeks. I think that's pretty funny. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, my thoughts are just that maybe this thing wraps up quicker than we initially thought. Yeah, this is like the first major piece of news since it was announced that this whole thing is happening. So we'll see what happens from here. I don't know. We have to wait and see. I don't think any news will leak out until all of it is known. So when we find out, we'll find out. But yeah, I guess somewhat expected, but still just interesting to see this pop up on the timeline nonetheless, just 'cause it was our first piece of news, really. So yeah, I don't know. Not much else though, but
Not
we'll
much else
see.
news. I will say somewhat unrelated to this is the fact that Riot Games, the creator of League Esports, League of Legends Esports, or the owner of it, I should say, they came out today and they're saying they're going to a full revenue sharing model similar to the Valorant League, which is basically we're going to pay teams a fixed amount per year and then a certain percentage of revenue from, I think it was either the game or skin sales or something. And the only reason I even bring it up is because it is notable because that is in a similar way to what the Call of Duty League is proposing for this, or at least what the teams are attempting to negotiate with the Call of Duty League. That being said, I have infinitely more faith in Riot Games to make the correct decision rather than Activision, and I suspect Activision will say no. We'll see, but again, the fact that they're settling this pretty quickly means that, and one of the things we had said at the time was, if they are trying to fold the Call of Duty League, this is one of the things they would want to go away pretty fast, and it's going away pretty fast. This will probably be done within a month or so. So that's something to keep a little note in the back of your head about that. Yeah. Okay, I didn't see this. Stephen A. Smith picked Rust over Nuketown for a 1v1. So did you? I didn't see this clip. Did you see this clip?
He did. I highly recommend it. As you can see, it's a 38-second clip. And I'm not the biggest Stephen A. Smith fan. I think he's excuse me, entertaining to say the least. But he has his own show, I guess, now where fans will just send him random messages on his Twitter or X, I should say. And he'll answer some of the random ones, and they can be pretty funny sometimes. So someone sent him a question asking, "Hey, Stephen A. Smith, what's the goated 1v1 map? Is it Nuketown or Rust?" And so he goes on this little mini rant about both, and then at the end of the day, he picks Rust, which I tend to agree with. I prefer to play Nuketown, usually like in a multiplayer experience, but if we're just talking 1v1s, I think Stephen A. picked the right map for that with Rust. I don't know. Any thoughts on this, Robert? I thought it was funny.
It is pretty fun. This is the same show that there was that random clip where he was talking about Lightning McQueen and how many Piston Cups he had won. Like, it's just, it is so random, and it's funny because we get these viral clips which are intended for that. But I think that's really funny, and it's cool. And yeah, I agree. I think if you had to say, okay, you're playing 4v4, which map are you playing? Yeah, Nuketown, 100%. But if it's 1v1, yeah, like Rust is better. There's a lot more different weird environments. Nuketown, if you're doing a 1v1 in Nuketown, it can feel really empty. It's too big for a 1v1 map in a lot of cases. Rust is a lot more wide open. You can see things moving around. But Nuketown, if you're hiding behind or you're just behind something, there's lots of things there's a lot of obstructed views on there. Yeah, I agree. I think Rust is a better 1v1 than Nuketown, though. But I prefer Nuketown over Rust, for sure, for a map. Major 2 qualifiers, expected wins. This is it, guys. This is the last expected win chart for this major. And, Toronto fallen quite a bit. I think I remember them being at the top initially, and for a couple of weeks. They have fallen significantly. Losing to Optic will do that. But, no, and I think Subliners as well. Or, no, not Subliners. They played FaZe, right? They lost to FaZe. Yeah, they lost to FaZe. So, according to this chart, they are 93% chance to get the fifth win. Basically, that's what you can derive from the expected value of that. It's interesting, though, that Optic versus Subliners, which is one of the maps, it is one of the matches this week, that actually functionally determines who is the number one seed. That literally determines the one seed. And you have Optic slightly, ever so slightly favored in that. I also have Optic, actually, no spoilers, that's later. That's, of course, the last match, because that's what they do with Optic. But no, it's interesting, though. Again, and as we've talked about this, right, we talked about basically a two-tier league, right? There's the main teams right there. Vegas Legion, they are randomly really good. They somehow lost to Thieves. I'm not sure exactly how that happened. I still don't. I watched it live. I don't know how it... Like, I was watching it, I'm like, what is happening? What? And then I don't get it. But anyways, they're up here at 4. Then you've got Thieves down here. Thieves actually randomly did pretty good last week. They won a hard point. Oh, they obviously beat Legion, but they actually started looking better in hard point. That's a huge improvement. But then again, we're just looking at these teams at the bottom, like LAG down here, Miami, Minnesota, Seattle. Like, it's just, these are always the same teams, and they're struggling to get wins. It's really, this year is really rough, where it's like there's such a gulf between the top teams and the bottom teams. It's not even close. What do you see from this?
Yeah, a lot of interesting matches to pick out from this upcoming weekend. Yeah, as you mentioned before, Optic versus New York it's the very last match of the weekend. It's the only match those teams play, and it is absolutely for the one seed. Not that the one seed gets any extra advantages, but it does help. So I believe if New York win, they're the one seed, and then it would come down to Optic versus FaZe for that 2 and 3 spot. They didn't play each other, so there'd be some tiebreakers, assuming FaZe can beat Gorillaz this weekend as well and get to 6 wins. A little more clear if Optic were to beat New York, because New York has that win over FaZe, so that would be a clean 1-2-3. Yeah, like you said, Toronto, a little bit of a disappointing qualifier stage. I initially had them at about 6.5 wins to start. Now, I did say that was probably a little too high, but I thought they could get to 6, but at best they'll have 5 if they can beat LA Thieves this weekend. So it's still a good, like, going 5-2 is good by every stretch of the imagination. But yeah, a little disappointing considering how good they looked at Major 1. The Vegas and LA Thieves teams, those guys are good to go for winner's bracket, likely to stay pretty much where they are. But then you get some juicy matchups. If you look at Minnesota-Miami at the bottom, they play each other, and I have that as a 50-50. So loser is cooked, and winner has a shot at winner's bracket, but they're going to need some help to get in. And then otherwise, probably the most intriguing game from a winner's bracket, loser's bracket perspective is Boston versus Seattle. Boston right now, two teams ahead of that cutoff line in my projections. They are a slight favorite, and we'll get into all these later. But yeah, if Boston can win that, they should be good to go. But if Seattle can win that, and that is the second to last match, whatever happens, we'll know where each team stands. But if Seattle were to get that and win earlier in the week versus Vegas, then they are looking good themselves. A lot to be sorted out here, but yeah, should be an interesting last weekend of games, even though there are only 8 of them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Beating the market and combined mall results. I did not have a great week last week, but you had a really good week last week, yeah. Again, I got caught by Legion here, and you knew exactly where to bet Legion there. You got in early and you got out quick. And then I don't know what's wrong with the Seattle team. I don't. They're so weird and perplexing. I don't know. But again, we had really good calls on Optic here. I think that was really good. Optic, like, my model was right to fade Ultra, and that was correct. And that paid handsomely for us there. Okay, and the combined model plays also did not do particularly well either. We really liked LEG. I believe they lost. Then we liked LEG again. They also lost. And we liked Seattle, and they also lost. And then we liked Legion, and then they lost. And then we liked Texas, but Texas did win, so that's something. But yeah, and unfortunately, I think we want to bet LEG again for some reason. I don't know why. It's never fun. I don't know. I don't know why we keep doing this. It's not fun.
It's the definition of insanity, right?
You're repeating the same thing. Yeah. Eventually they'll win a game, probably.
Right.
Statistically. Right. Yeah, it's not complete insanity. It's almost insanity. Match previews. Okay, first match of the week, Friday afternoon, which is actually tomorrow because we're recording this a little late. Seattle versus Legion. Legion minus 175 on the money line. Minus 1.5 plus 110. 20.5-point spread in the hard point. 20.5-point favorites in the hard point. Actually, a slight underdog. 1.5 match handicap in the search and destroy. And then 1.5 round favorites in the control. And that's actually pretty shaded to even. So they're basically pretty heavily expecting a Legion win there. Based on the two models here, basically, we both really like Legion here. We just decided to say we're just gonna ignore what happened there with Thieves and just ignore that. And that Seattle's pretty bad. We like Legion minus 1.5 as well. That plus 110 is a little too juicy for me to pass up. We like the map 1. Iffy on the map 2. You're really iffy on the map 2. And then I like them a little map 3, but not that much map 3. Here's the thing. Legion minus 1.5. What could go wrong? Right? What do you think?
Yeah, I'm in agreement. I know Legion lost last week, but they did still win a hard point, and that has been a strength of theirs pretty much the whole year. And again, one that I think is often being overlooked by the books, just because my model sees it as value each and every week, and they perform well, pretty much. They live up to expectations a lot of the time, and this Seattle Surge team is, I'm not scared of them in pretty much any game mode, especially hardpoint. I think Legion bounced back in a big way here, and yeah, because of their hardpoint success, I don't hate a minus 1.5. I think a 3-1 is very likely. Maybe Surge show us something, but their one win was against LAG, if I'm not mistaken, and they have yet to win a match this stage. Seattle looking like a bottom 3 team, I would say, right now. And yeah, Legion to me are hovering around that 5th, 6th, 7th best team mark. Yeah, for me, that's enough to get behind Legion in this spot.
This is the thing, right? The argument was, if they get rid of replacing Illy with someone else, we'll fix it. And that has not fixed the problems. This is still just like a team that they basically lost their entire roster from last year after Pred is now an Optic. Accuracy, for better or worse, is not on Seattle anymore. They lost SIB to subliners. It's not a good situation. They went into the bargain bin, tried to find something, and they just have not gotten lucky with that at all. And I think this is a team that basically at this point, you have to make a team change. Or do you just stick it out and say, we're done this year, we're done, right? This is now, obviously, when we used to talk about Seattle, it was like, okay, this is the... There used to be the first people for the Call of Duty League. If you remember back to Cold War, there used to be, like, Seattle Surge was like a bad team. Just a horrible team, never competitive, just horrible all the way back to Cold War, when they still had Octane. Then they lost Octane, and then people are like, okay, they're going to be really bad, but they picked up some younger players, And then they've actually been not bad the last couple of years. And now we're back to a point where there's actually a bit of a brand there on Seattle. Like, hey, Seattle's not bad. And they're just, it's not good this year at all. I think it's tough. I don't know. Is the decision to stick with this team, or is to basically just replace half the players in before Major 3? What do you think?
Yeah, I still don't quite know why Illy was benched, and I think that's a question a lot of people have. I think if it's not too, I don't know, weird, like, why not put Illy back into the lineup? Major 1 was good for them. They still had weaknesses, but they did all right. They were a great search team with that 4. They won some preseason tournaments. There was a lot of preseason hype around the Surge lineup, that original lineup, and then for whatever reason, after Major 1, they said, hey, we're bringing in Brezzy, and we're going to see how this goes. And so far, not so good. Now, again, a lot of this is small sample, right? We're comparing 8 games over here to 6 games they've played so far this stage. So, you know, altogether, we have a decent idea of what the Surge team is. But, yeah, right now it's shaky, and like I feel like they do have to make a change. If bringing Illy back is out of the question, then somebody else, probably a Challengers player at that point. We'll see. Maybe they just stick it out through Major 2. But yeah, I just worry that if you're one of these teams that's just hovering right now, and you're definitely not good enough to say we're going to make champs, you're in that champs conversation with 6 other teams. I would throw Surge in that mix, Legion in that mix, Boston, all those teams. I just worry that some of those teams are going to try to stick it out with their lineups too long, and then it's going to be too little too late, because we'll be in May at that point, and they're going to be losing on some CDL points. Yeah, if you're Surge, make a decision sooner rather than later, and that decision, in my opinion, should be some sort of change. But Legion, if you're Legion, right now, don't change a thing. They are doing really well.
Friday, the second match and final match, the Battle of LA again. LAG versus Thieves. LAG plus 275 on the money line, plus 1.5, plus 110. 20.5 point dogs is LAG in the hard point. 1.5 underdogs in the 1.5 round underdogs in the search and destroy, and 1.5 round underdogs in the control. I would say the market is saying Thieves should get a pretty decisive win, should win the hard point by a decent-ish amount, and should clean up in the control and the search. And that is not what we say. We are both again on LAG. I don't know why we keep doing this, but we are. And we both have LAG like more than 50% to win map 2, to win map 1 actually. Sorry, we both have them over 50% to win map 1. So that means that we both like the plus 20.5. I really like them in map 3 for some unknown reason. I'm not completely sure why, but yeah, we're just a lot lower on the market than LA Thieves, and I think this is one of the things where I think in some cases markets will overreact to what they saw last, and our models are a lot more anchored in, okay, yeah, Thieves looked good. And this is the thing, right? Sometimes our mark, and there's going to be an example of this in a couple more games, our models will say, don't buy the most recent thing, take it in a longer-term average into it. But at the same time, if a team has meaningfully changed, we're going to underestimate them for a couple weeks, which is okay, because that's when we say, okay. So say, oh, there's a change, a new player has come in, someone's playing insane, this is where you make those adjustments. So what are your thoughts on this? Do you see...
Yeah.
Are we going to pull the trigger again on LAG, or are we just going to say, no more?
I'm not. At this point, I'm just acknowledging that my model is too high on LAG and not high enough on LA Thieves. So when you pair those two teams together, it shows a ton of value on LAG, which I think is a mistake. Now, if you were to ask me, okay, you have to pick either LAG or LA Thieves and pick anything you want, I would lean probably towards LAG map 1 or LAG plus 1.5, because even though my numbers are way too high probably, I still think market is just a little too low on LAG. Like, to win the series outright, they have LAG at less than 30%. And I don't know, just thinking about this match, I just think that's a little way too skewed. It's way, way too far off. I know LAG have yet to win a series during this qualifier period, and LA Thieves have now 3 wins on the board. Congrats to them. Much improved. But again, a lot of their wins aren't super convincing. They're at least splitting hard points now. Their search is better, but their control is worse. So at the end of the day, it's an improvement. And LAG, I don't know what's going on, but their hard point is, it's okay still. They're really tailing off in map 2 and map 3. That's what makes the LAG plus 1.5, I think, pretty enticing, is maybe they catch LA Thieves on a bad hardpoint day, they can just win two of those and call it a day. And not to mention that searches are always pretty winnable, and then who knows in control if you can get an invasion defense round 5, that goes a long way into winning. Yeah. For me, yeah, I side LAG, but I don't like it as much as my model shows.
I agree with that. Saturday match number, first match on Saturday, Carolina versus Legion. Legion minus 200 favorites on the money line, minus 1.5 plus 125, 10.5 point favorites in the hard point, 1.5 round favorites in the search, and then basically a coin flip control, and Legion minus 1.5 is in the control is plus 200 there. We both like Legion. A little bit, not a lot, but a little bit. This is, again, a classic example of our model saying, okay, yeah, they didn't look the greatest against Thieves, somehow, but still bet Legion. I like the minus 1.5 a little bit more than you do, but I don't think that... Yeah, actually, you don't even like the plus 1.5. I like the minus 1.5 on Legion. You don't, but you also don't like the plus 1.5 on Carolina, too. Your model's just like, no, I'm not doing anything on this. You get the money line a little bit. Yeah, this map is... This is not... Okay, maybe a little bit on Legion money line, maybe throw that into a parlay or something, but not a ton of value here. What are your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, totally agree. I do Legion in this match as well, but not nearly as much as I like them in their Friday match versus Surge. Whenever we get that kind of situation where it's, I like them in both matches, but I very much prefer them in this match, then the other match just becomes a stay away for me. My model sees maybe a little value on Ravens map 3. That's playable, perhaps. But yeah, the one thing I thought was interesting was Vegas minus 1.5, not super valuable in my opinion, just because Ravens are a half decent team when it comes to hard points. So if there ever was like a Legion 3-2 victory, I could see it coming in this kind of a match where they are the favorite, but they also have, you know, an opponent that's pretty good at hard point as well. Maybe Ravens are able to extend out the series, but at the end of the day, I think Legion are pretty good favorites in a search and destroy where they could rely on 2 wins in that mode if they needed. And I think they could at least get 1 hard point and maybe the control if things break their way. Me, it's Legion, but it very well could be a super close series.
Yeah, I agree with that. Match 2, Minnesota versus Miami. This is, I suspect, a coin flip special. Legion plus 1.5 minus 225. Minnesota minus 1.5 plus 162. That's basically saying we have no idea. Minnesota, 8.5 point favorites in the hard point. Can't get much lower than that. Plus 100 in the search, and then minus 175 in the control, minus 1.5, plus 125. Basically, all this is saying is that Minnesota has a slight edge in control, according to the books, and everything else is basically even. And there we go. We are very agnostic about this game. Both, I think they both have this basically 50-50. I think 40.45 to 40, like 49. Like I have this like dead even within a point. You, I think, also have it basically. We have basically the same number. Do we copy each other's numbers for this? No, obviously not. I like Minnesota a lot more in the control than you do. But basically across the board, we have basically the same numbers across. And see, this is the thing, right? In past games, I would love to say, oh, okay, it's fine. Just bet over 4.5. But in this game, randomly, there's sweeps. So one of these teams, it sucks because one of these teams is going to sweep the other team. And I can't justify putting $10 on plus 400 each team to sweep or either team to sweep. It's not worth it. I don't even know how do you approach this? How would you even bet? How do you think we should bet this game?
Yeah, I would probably just avoid it completely. The over 4.5 is not something I considered. It's really never, I never think about it that way. Whenever I'm thinking about a game that could go to a game 5, I'm always considering, I just want the team that's better at search at that point to win outright or to force the map 5 or whatever it is. But yeah, maybe this could go to a map 5. These teams seem very close, in my opinion. I have it like dead on 50-50. I guess my model sees a little value, Minnesota map 3 and Miami map 1. So if you want to play those, go ahead. Maybe if you want to play the alternate spreads on those, that's fine. But yeah, otherwise, these teams are, they've had pretty similar seasons so far. The only difference is Miami won games right at the start of the season when Rocker was losing. And then Miami faded down the stretch and Rocker picked up steam. And then since Major 2 has started, both of these teams have done a whole lot of nothing, but they just got their first wins last week. Good to see them recover somewhat and get a win on the board. They're both very likely to start in loser's bracket. The loser of this definitely is in loser's bracket. And the winner, I guess, maybe has a shot at making winner's bracket. But either way, yeah, this game feels very much like a toss-up. And because of that, I don't really want to make a pick on anything. So I'll cheer for Rocker, but whatever if Miami ends up winning.
Mm-hmm. I think I agree with that. Last match on Saturday, Ultra versus Thieves. The books really like Ultra here. Minus 600 on the money line, minus 1.5, minus 250, minus 45.5 points in the hard point. But to be fair, Ultra has earned that. Minus 1.5, minus 120 in the Search and Destroy, and then minus 1.5, plus 125 in the Control after Ultra lost the Control there to Optic. And here we go. So my model, again, Toronto hater, the call coming from within the house there. Your model likes Ultra a lot more than mine, which is weird. But not that weird, though. You're really out on LA Thieves. Yeah, wow, okay. I mean, we both have Toronto favored in map 1. I think the real difference is map 2. My model is really out on them on Search. Yours is slightly less. But other than that, though, I think it's pretty, like, I think if you fix Search, if you adjust Search, like, okay, I'm a little lower on Toronto in the hard point, and I'm basically a little lower in the Control, but if you adjust it up, I probably have similar numbers. That -1.5 would probably climb up to 65%, and then this is a lot less interesting. I just, maybe you take a shot at Thieves. I think if Thieves were to lose to LAG, I think that's when you take the shot on them, because then that plus 175 is all of a sudden plus 200. Plus 200, plus 220, because if they lose to LEG, that's what it would be. And so that's, I think, when you take the shot. And then all of a sudden, if you're starting to get like something like 50, 60 points in the hard point from Ultra versus them, 60 points is fine, right? Again, we start liking numbers when they get above 50 as just a mathematical principle. I think that's when you, if Thieves lose to LEG, that's when you start considering this. What are your thoughts on this? I think you see no value on this in any way, really. Right?
Yeah, I if I were to go one way, I would go Toronto. I think there is some price adjustment that you can see just based on Ultra struggling somewhat the last couple weeks, losing to FaZe and then losing to Optic last week. The one thing I will say about Toronto is their hard point is still money. Like, it is dominant. They have lost a couple times during this Major 2 qualifier period, but the bigger issue, and I've been talking about it for weeks with Toronto, is their control. Now, I do have their control about a 50-50 against LA Thieves, so we'll see what map comes up in the veto process. But the good news is that Thieves are also kind of tailing off in control as well. Both teams may be struggling in that mode. We'll see if Toronto can just get a win there. I also think my Toronto Search number's a little on the high side. Thieves have shown a lot of improvement in Search and Destroy. Toronto have shown a lot of backsliding. The match last week against Optic, I believe they lost 6-1 and 6-0, something like that. They got blown out in both searches, lost 3-0 in the control on, I think it was High Rise. Like, they're trying different maps, and I give Ultra credit for that, just to see if their map pool is bigger than what we think it is, but it looks like right now it's not. And again, that might be due to the meta change going into the Major 2 qualifier period with all those map set changes and whatnot. But yeah, I feel good about an Ultra bounce back here. Maybe Thieves can take a map off of them. I would probably say the Search or the Control, but at the end of the day, I expect Toronto to get this done in a 3-1 or maybe even a sweep.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty fair assessment. Sunday match 1, speaking of sweeps, Thieves minus 5, FaZe minus 20,000 on the money line. That's not every day you see that. -2.5, -250. So they're basically saying there is not a single chance that LEG even wins a map. They're basically saying there's like a 65% chance they don't even get close to being competitive in a map. 62.5 spread in the hardpoint. 2.5 spread in the search. And then off the board in terms of control spread, they're just another -2,000 to win map 3. And they deserve it. Again, my model really doesn't... It really does not like LAG. It doesn't like phase in search. I gotta figure out why that is. My model is doing weird things with search and destroy. It's messing with the money lines and stuff. But I think they have a shot in search and destroy, I think. And that being said, LEG does not have a shot in control. But they do have a shot in potentially hard point, maybe. Nah, not really. But I think my model at least says they got somewhat of a shot in search. And I think you can get search competitive, right? I think you can, like... I think +2.5, you can't win 4 rounds against thieves. Come on. I think that's a bit much, right? I think winning 4 rounds in a search and destroy is not impossible. I think it's a lot... I think that if there's anything you're gonna play, I think you're gonna play LEG +2.5 in the search. But like this is basically unbettable, right? Like -250. Like, come on, what are we doing here? Like, you can't bet -250. That's insane. Like, that's nothing. What are your thoughts on this? Do you see any betting angles in this, or is it just skip?
Yeah, the only thing that I think you could talk me into would be an individual map play on the gorillas. Maybe they surprise us and can win map 1 or map 2. Map 3, very, very unlikely to happen. But yeah, the numbers on phase are just astronomical. But that's where they need to be, because those are good numbers, in my opinion. I'm not too far off of market because, yeah, this is likely to be a blowout in every way, shape, and form. So... I believe this is the biggest favorite we've had all year. I can't remember a -20,000 listed before today. So, FaZe, you better hold up your end of the bargain here or else people are going to be talking. But yeah, it's FaZe all day, every day in this. Yeah, good luck. I think this is their second to last game, or perhaps they have one more before this. Either way, they're in for some trouble, I think. FaZe are just running through everybody at this point, and... LAG are a very run-overable team. Yeah.
Could you imagine putting like 20,000, because it's -20,000, could you imagine putting $20,000 to win $100?
No.
That's not how math works. That's only usually for college football and stuff. And that's the only time you'll see a lot. You will not see an NFL line that big. That's literally impossible. Even with a backup quarterback, the line is still only -500, -1,000. But in college football, when a Division I team plays a team you've never heard of before, you get to -20,000 that way. But that being said, though, even then, very few people would put it. Just buy a – in Canada, they're called GICs, and in the U.S., they're called T-bills. Just buy them – buy that. Do it like a government bond. That's it. That's way better value for your $20,000 than whatever this is. Next. Seattle versus Boston. Boston -250 on the money line, -1.5, -120, 25.5 point favorites in the hard point. They're actually an underdog in the search, which is weird, but okay. But then they're substantial 1.5, -300, -1.5 round favorites in the control. I think both of us Seattle to some degree, to varying degrees. You like them more in the search. I like them a little more on the hard point. When you composite that together, that's a surge win there. I really like them in the control. You don't. That's really weird. But I guess, I don't know. This is a very interesting match. But again, it's like these are two bottom of the barrel teams. I guess the model is saying Boston should be favored. Neither of us actually think that, which is weird. Our models are like substantially lower on Boston than the model. And this is what we do now. We just pick off, like, small favorites like this against... Because there was a time when these, like, Seattle would be, like, +1.5, like, +120 or something. But +1.5, -120 is not bad either, right? There might be some value on Seattle here. What's your thoughts on this matchup?
Yeah, if I had to pick one thing, I would probably just take Seattle map 2. I don't think it's odd that Seattle are favored in that mode, despite Boston being a pretty heavy favorite in this match. Just because... I think Boston only have 4 or 5 search wins on the year. It's been a struggle for them throughout the year, major 1, major 2, doesn't matter. And Surge, were much better in Major 1, but have been at least an average-ish search team in Major 2s. Yeah, I think a minus 138 isn't a bad price to lay in it for Seattle Map 2. Like it is every week, Boston Map 3 looks like value for me. That's the one mode where they have been pretty consistent all year, and Surge have not been at all. The one problem with that is it's minus 300. Maybe you want to play like the -1.5 rounds in that instead, which I'd be okay with. Seattle often get 3-1'd or 3-0'd in control, so that wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. But yeah, a very important game, obviously. Winner is pretty likely to get winner's bracket. I think if Boston win, they are in, and Seattle are win, and maybe in, depending on how their earlier series went and how some other series went as well. Still a big match at the end of the day. I lean Boston to win ever so slightly, but the prices on Surge are just a little better, in my opinion. I'm at odds there, but yeah, Surge, a slight lean on Surge, but I'm getting sick of this with Seattle every week.
Yeah, there's the teams that we're like, they're undervalued. They should be a higher price, and then we just immediately get destroyed. And it's just, it's so frustrating because there's just so many sweeps, right? Like, if these games should be more competitive, they should be going to game 4, game 5, and they're just not. It's very frustrating. Last match, and dare I say it, it's actually very obviously the match of the week, Optic versus Subliners. Subliners minus 163 on the money line, -1.5, 162, 8.5-point favorites in the hard point, 1.5-round favorites in the search, and then basically even plus 100 in the control, but basically even there as well. We both like Optic. And that's actually interesting because I thought it was going to be crazy for putting something on a plus 120 on Optic, but it's crazy we both kind of find value in Optic. We both Optic in the hard point, but not a lot. I don't see a lot of value in Optic in the hard point. I see more value on Optic in the search, probably because my model is overreacting to Optic destroying Ultra in that last search. And then, but you like them in the control. So I think we do like them, but the problem is the fact that the +1.5 is like -225, and that's not the most bettable thing. Yeah, I think if you are betting, if I'm betting on this game, and I probably will, I think the play is Optic. I think it's very clearly the play is Optic, and I think that's how you have to approach this. But outside of that, I can't see betting on Subliners, and I could see a bet on Optic money line. The +1.5, no, maybe the -1.5, but there's not a lot of options to bet here, in my opinion. What are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, totally agree. My model likes Optic, you like Optic, I like Optic. They were good to us last week, so why not go back? But yeah, I kind of just like to trust teams that are good at respawn. And when you have an underdog that could very well win maps 1, 3, and 4, sign me up for that every day of the week. Yeah, to me, I don't really understand why New York are favored in hardpoint in map 1. Yeah, Optic have won hardpoints at a higher rate than New York. They're winning hardpoints by bigger margins, and they have had a harder strength of schedule in terms of their hardpoint opponents that they've played. To me, I would make Optic a minus 125 favorite, maybe even higher in map 1, but I would probably flip those. New York is rightfully a pretty heavy favorite in map 2. They're winning those. They're winning searches at percent. Optic are, they had a fantastic week last week, dominating Ultra, who are fantastic search teams. Optic maybe started slow out of the gates and are rounding into form in map 2. And then, yeah, control Optic, as long as they veto high rise, they should have a map advantage on either of the other two, Invasion or Karachi. So as long as they don't mess that up, I think Optic are pretty well set up. Yeah, this is going to be a fantastic match. Round of applause for the schedule makers for setting this 42-game scheduling period for Major 2 and making the very last one the battle for the one seed. Good on you, CDL schedule makers. This should be a doozy.
And script writers.
Yeah. And script writers. Yeah, I'll be cheering for Optic, I think, in this one to take it home.
Yeah, it's really funny because we started this Major 2 qualifier and we were like, hey, I think Subliners are better than people think they are. And I rode that and I made a bit of money on that. And now I'm like, actually, you know what? I think Optic's better than them. And that's crazy how the progression of that, how we've gone from I think Subliners is the best, and now I think Optic is the best. And we don't have, let me just double check here, but I suspect we don't actually have Oh, we do actually. Oh no, we don't have major lines. We can't bet on on who we think is going to win the major right now. We will after this week, but I am fascinated to see what that number is going to be next week. I have no idea. Whoever wins this game is going to be the favorite, maybe. But what can you do, right? FaZe gonna what are you gonna give me +200 on FaZe? Are you insane? They can't give us plus two. But like, are you gonna give me +300 on Ultra? That's even more insane. And but the thing is, mathematically, these odds, you can't be like, okay, Optic is -110, and then everybody else. Mathematically, the odds, it's gonna be funny. It's literally gonna be like, the four are the odds to win, and then everybody else is just gonna be like 50-1. That's what the line's gonna be. It's okay, the top four are like all 2-1, 3-1. And then it's gonna be like the top four of that, and then Legion 50-1, and then it's gonna be like next is gonna be like, and then Thieves is like 100-1. It's just gonna be a mess, but it's pretty crazy. But yeah, I'm really excited for that next week. I think this is gonna be a very, but again, we're now at a point where the first two rounds are just it doesn't even matter. Okay, the first rounds obviously matter, but after round, basically the first, there's a lot of games that are just like, okay, I guess this game is happening. I guess, right? There's a lot of games that are just like the top four teams when they play, it's fun, but the other teams when they play, it's to me, it's not as fun at least. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I totally agree. I think the odds market for next week's major is going to look the most unique that we've ever seen. You're absolutely right. We're going to have four teams, no matter how these matches this weekend shake out,
Barring something crazy, but
unless LAG beats FaZe, unless something crazy happens. Like, all four of those teams are going to be clustered probably around +200 to +300, like somewhere in there. And then, yeah, the fifth team listed could be Vegas or, I don't know, Thieves or Breach or whoever. That next team down is probably 20 to 1, 25 to 1. It's going to be a huge gap. So I feel like next week we're going to be debating which one of those four teams at the top do you like at their price. So we're going to be nitpicking a little bit, I feel like, because their prices are probably going to be pretty similar. It just comes down to how do the matches line up? How does the bracket line up for each team? And then obviously, if we think there is a clear favorite, that team will probably side with that team. But
whatever team is
yeah.
fourth in the odds. Whatever team is fourth in the odds, that's the team to bet.
If you want to play, that's totally justifiable. If you think it's really going to be that close, and it very well could be. So I will say we did think those four would finish top four at Major One, and New York bombed out. So weird things happen sometimes, right? Like at this major, maybe New York went, right? Maybe New York beat Optic in this match. They go on, they win Major Two, but in the midst of all that, like Ultra 0-2'd and they're done. So weird things can happen in a double elimination bracket like that. But yeah, if there's any tournament that feels like we know who's going to be there on Sunday, it feels like this one because all four of those teams are playing all pretty well right now.
I will say it's unlikely that the I will say it's unlikely these four teams will make it to Sunday, just simply because probably the way seeding will work, one of them will play each other, and then in the first, I'm actually no, they're both going to be the top four, right? So then they're going to both play the bottom
Yeah.
four. So actually, yeah, it's
I think we're going to
it's
have,
four
yeah,
team league.
we're going to have New York, Optic, FaZe probably 1, 2, 3 in some order. I think the one question maybe becomes is Toronto the four or the five? But that doesn't really matter, right? You're in that 4-5 matchup anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's very realistic. Winners round two is just all four of those teams. But we'll have to wait and see because we're still a week
Yeah.
away.
We are still a week away, but there are some good matches this week, and then there'll always be some good matches next week. Beating the market and combined model plays. So last week I did not do good. Let's see if I could do better. But again, our betting the market or our the picks we like, they have look, pick number three. Just ignore our pick number one, just better pick number three. So sorry, Legion, you've lost already. But yeah, no, congrats to LEG. You have been competitive against Thieves. We just say this now. But no, yeah, I don't know why I picked a coin flip. That's weird. But whatever. I just was like, see, I think because Miami was supposed to lose to someone, I think, and then they just straight up beat them.
I think it was
So because
Ravens last week for
yeah, it
them.
was. I think it was
Yeah.
Ravens too. Yeah. So I'm just like my model's underestimating Miami, so I'm just gonna go with Miami. I think Thieves are overvalued, and I think LEG is undervalued, and I just can't pass up the opportunity to fade Seattle again. You also can't fade up the opportunity to fade Seattle again. But you also Optic -1.5, which is very interesting because there was a way that Optic could have won 3-1 against Toronto theoretically in that matchup. And I think because they just were not good in Hardpoint, and just Hardpoint came through in those. And had it been different, they would have had that. So that's something to consider as well. And then you're just loading up. You're just like the lock of the week, ultra Hardpoint spread. Here you go, 45.5. Combined model plays. Vegas and LEG, Carolina map 3 on Saturday, Legion map Moneyline map 2 Saturday as well, Minnesota map 3, Miami map 1 on Saturday. Sunday, again LEG, oh god. There's a common theme here. Seattle Moneyline, 1.5, map 2, and then Texas Moneyline plus 1.5. That is it for this week. You will see us on Wednesday. We will be recording this podcast next Tuesday night because we're... Yeah, we'll release it. We'll record on Tuesday, release on Wednesday, first games on Thursday. So we will see you guys next week. See you, everybody.